Welcome back to The Wise Man's Page, the podcast where we read Patrick Rothfuss's The Wise Man's Fear page by page. This is page 78. Chapter 8, Questions. The next few days were neither pleasant nor productive. Bella's admission slot was at the very end of the span, so I attempted to put the extra time to good use. I tried to do some piecework in the fishery, but quickly returned to my room when I broke down crying halfway through inscribing a heat funnel. Not only couldn't I maintain the proper alar, but the last thing I needed was for people to think I'd cracked under the stress of admissions. Later that night, when I tried to crawl through the narrow tunnel into the archives, the taste of plum flooded my mouth, and I was filled with a mindless fear of the dark, confining space. Luckily, I'd only gone a dozen feet, but even so, I almost gave myself a concussion struggling backward out of the tunnel, and my palms were scraped raw from my panicked scrambling against the stone. So I spent the next 2 days pretending I was sick and keeping to my tiny room. I played my lute, slept fitfully, and thought dark thoughts of Ambrose. Anchor was cleaning up when I came downstairs. Feeling better? He asked. A bit, I said. Yesterday, I'd only had 2 plum echoes, and they were very brief. Better yet, I'd managed to sleep the whole night through. It seemed I was through the worst of it. You hungry? I shook my head. Admissions today. Anchor frowned. You should have something, then. An apple? He bustled around behind the bar, then brought out a pottery mug and a heavy jug. Have some milk, too. I've got to make use of it before it turns. Damn ice. End of the page.
I'm Nick.
I'm Jordana.
I'm Jeremy.
And yes, damn ice.
Damn ice.
Indeed. We'll have to wait until tomorrow to talk about exactly what Anchor's talking about there. Both is going through the magical equivalent of acid flashbacks, just as Simon told him that he would, right? That he's going to sort of keep having these flare-ups of the, what he calls plum echoes, you know, days after he was poisoned.
And I actually appreciate this, because it would be easy for Rothfuss to have just had Sim tell him, you're going to have flashbacks. And then later in the book, when it's a plot point, it's a couple scenes far, far in the future, he will say something out of line because of a plum echo. So I appreciate that they occur so immediately. That feels real to me.
Mm-hmm. And they really like mess up his life, you know, like he's not really a functional person, or at least he can't really do all the things that he really disruptive experiences. You know, it's not just like, oh, he says something weird. Like he breaks down crying and he has to like leave the room. Although that's partly because he needs to maintain the facade that he's like this mysterious, aloof so-and-so. So that's
why he's very concerned about how the others see him, because he doesn't want to have them see him cry, because he doesn't want them to think that he's cracking under the pressure of admissions. But why does he care if they think he's cracking under the pressure of admissions?
Because he spent his entire time at this university building up a reputation for himself of being a certain kind of way.
No, I don't think it really has anything to do with admissions. I think it's just a general, he doesn't want to seem weak in public.
Mm-hmm. And he has thought something to that effect before, you know, like he can't ever seem weak in front of these people. He has to present this armor of being aloof and together and knowing everything and being mysterious. So it's only in his private moments that he can ever like let that guard down and just be afraid. And then he figures out, well, I can't really do anything that requires me to go out in public or like be in a situation where I can't control myself. So I'm going to have to just self-isolate in my room and play my lute and, you know, brood, which is relatable to our present circumstances.
Very much so. He has a good relationship with Anchor. It's not really much of a plot point, but it seems like Anchor, who is both his boss and his landlord, does seem to genuinely like him and care about him. We'll get into it a little more on the next page, but he's offering him some free food. I guess he gets his food as part of the deal, but it's a pretty sweet deal. Anchor is I'm going to say this is uncharitable, but Anchor's a bit of a deus ex machina to allow Quoth to live on his talent without having to work on literally making rent every month. Quoth is very lucky to find Anchor, and I think it's maybe a little bit of a missed opportunity to not expand this relationship. I know that it, in the broader sense, this relationship isn't that important to the plot of the book, but this exchange between the two of them is one of the only ones we ever get, and it seems very kind. We know Anchor agrees with Quoth politically on a lot of things. Like, he's very scornful of the nobles, and he doesn't care about reputation in their eyes. Like, he's willing to put Quoth up and lose any noble clientele who fall victim to Ambrose's propaganda about Quoth. I don't know. What do you guys think about Anchor?
But I think he is a nice guy, but I also, like, this behavior for me is expected from him because we're already prepped to know that he is more sympathetic to Quoth's situation because he lets Quoth stay there when no one else would put Quoth up, right? Like, we know already what kind of person he is because he's not someone Ambrose could buy out.
Yeah, but I just think it's odd or a missed opportunity to not expand this relationship and this character a little bit more.
I mean, there are lots of relationships that don't get expanded as much as they could in these books, and they're still really long books, so...
Yeah, you got to make choices. I think Anchor is as developed a character as he needs to be. I think that I don't think he's a deus ex machina because there's a whole like section of the book that is both trying to figure out a place to stay, and Anchor's is the last place he turns to, and there's a reason in the story for it to happen. I do think he's like being kind, but also this is part of the deal they have, and also he has reason to treat Quoth well, not just out of the kindness of his heart, but also because Quoth brings in the customers with his lute playing once a week, which keeps Anchors full of people who are paying Anchor money for drinks and food. So he can't have his
sick to his knowledge. It is in his interest to keep Quoth healthy.
Yeah, he can't have his entertainer dropping dead. Not that I'm saying that what he's doing is entirely mercenary.
Well, I think it's a little bit of both, right? I think he genuinely does like Quoth, but he also gets something valuable out of the deal.
Exactly. Now, what I'm confused by is the exchange of Anchor asking him if he's hungry, and then Quoth shaking his head and saying admissions today. Those thoughts aren't connected as far as I can tell.
No, I get that. Like, I didn't eat before my thesis defense. You know, you're too nervous about something to eat, to have an appetite. That scans for me. I have no problem with that exchange.
Yeah, that makes sense to me too, especially because he would be familiar with students being nervous pre-admissions because of where Anchors is.
Yeah, and of course, the correct...
Other student borders.
Yeah, and the correct response to that is you should have something anyway, which makes me think that Anchor does care about him. That's the sort of thing that someone says when they care about you and when you don't have an appetite because of nerves.
I mean, that's also something that a generally nice person might say to someone because it's reasonable. Not just like they may, even if I didn't care about someone, I might still say that to them because it's a reasonable thing to say.
Yeah, but you're like unusually kind.
I disagree. I have met many people as nice as me.
I think that anyone above the plus one baseline of true neutrality would offer someone in such a situation. Not that Jordana is not a kind person, but I think that other people who are perhaps less kind overall on the grand alignment chart would probably do the same.
Very well. Moving on.
I don't have anything else to talk about really on the page.
Neither do I, but we do have a letter, and it's relevant because we talked about acid today, and this letter is about acid. This is from listener Eric on page 37. Hi, Pagers. I just finished listening, and I thought I would help with what sounds real and what sounds fantastical in the fishery. The mention of compounds that will make your gums bleed and hair fall out definitely sounds like radiation poisoning, so you three seemed to have that covered. The idea of something leaving your skin unharmed but eating your bones is something well known to chemists. Hydrofluoric acid, symbol HF, is very dangerous and is used to etch glass and clean steel, among many other things. I've attached an article about it. I'm certain this is what Rothfuss is talking about, and since I learned about this in freshman chemistry, it is not surprising he would know about this from his time either attending or teaching at a university. I'm so glad the podcast is back and better than ever, especially since Nick has decided to do some fact-checking. Not that I minded hearing all the banter about what things could mean. I'm just a fan of Googling to be proven right or wrong. Cheers. Signed, Eric.
Well, now I have a new thing in the real world to be afraid of. Thank you, Eric.
It's not like it didn't exist before, Jeremy. You just didn't know about it.
Yes, ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, usual. Things you don't know about can't hurt you. That's like... right. Until you knew about the coronavirus, were you afraid of it?
I'm not afraid of the virus, I'm afraid of the people.
No, of course.
Exactly.
Now, according to a cursory Wikipedia, hydrofluoric acid, when it comes into contact with human skin, causes deep burns. So that doesn't sound like the thing Rothfuss is describing, which doesn't hurt your skin, but destroys your bones.
I think it has to do with the way it breaks down. I'm skimming the article, so I'm probably going to get this wrong, but it has something to do with the fact that as a weak acid, it doesn't break down into its component ions or elements as readily as strong acid does. So it remains acidic. It remains deadly, or at least harmful, even if it's been broken down somewhat or touch the skin. So it's not that if you drop the acid on you, it will go and suck into your skin and then you'll vomit out liquid bone. It's more like, I guess,
sound effect.
Yeah. If you know what, I don't want to say something and be wrong, but it seems like it remains deadly even in different forms.
Heavens.
Yeah. We can post the article along with this episode. So
I will surely do that.
Links and stuff.
Yes. Well, thank you for writing, Eric. Indeed. Our mailbag now is almost completely empty. We have blasted through our letters from the last little while. So I urge you, the people, to send your letters to us at pageofthewind@gmail.com. On our nice new website, if you scroll to the bottom, there's a form. You don't even have to enter our email. You just have to enter your letter and hit send, and it will come right into Mr. Mailbag's open gullet.
Charming.
Yeah. It'll make the same sound as hydrofluoric acid.
Yeah. That was listeners, not the same sound.
Listeners, you can tell us what other sound effects you'd like to hear us make by sending us an email.
And you can tell us even more things because as a patron, you get a bit of say in what we do and say. So if you want to support us on our Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/pageofthewind. And for as little as $1 a month, get access to all, I think by now there's over 100 posts and episodes that you'll get access to. There's quite a bit. It's all good stuff.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to give us suggestions on other stuff you'd like to see from the Patreon, you can do so on our social media accounts, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
That includes our upcoming streaming content. Since we are social distancing for what feels like the foreseeable future, we're looking at branching out into not just streaming our recording sessions, but streaming other things. We might do some read-alongs. We might do some streaming Jordana's artwork. We might stream some games. Yeah, I might stream some Drawful. Maybe even call in some listeners and play with us.
Yeah, you can be part of the audience too.
Yeah, so we're going to get that going. Keep an eye on our YouTube and our new Twitch page and also on our social media at pageofthewind.com for more information about that.
Very well.
House kept.
Yes, so neat and tidy.
See us all tomorrow for another page.
Another page of the wind.
Of the wind.
Of the wind.